Would you please turn your Bibles to James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You stand over there," or "Sit down at my feet," have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?
Thank you so much, Noah. Have you ever been invited somewhere? Probably. You know, how do you feel when you get invitations? If you're anything like me, the answer to that question very much depends on what I've been invited to and who invited me. There are some things you get an invitation, you're like, oh, that'll be fun. I'll get to see some people that I know and like. And then there are some things you get an invitation to and you're thinking, what can I come up with that can interfere with this opportunity? Because there are some things that you might feel uncomfortable or out of place or awkward or you just don't enjoy. And then there are some things that you enjoy quite a bit and you're excited about going to. But invitations can do that. They can fill you either with a dread or with excitement. Really, it kind of depends, you know, based on the person, based on who's doing the inviting, and based on where you're invited to go. There's something that happens probably every single week when we gather together as Christians and as believers and as members of the Maryville Church of Christ. As we gather, there are people who come and sit here who haven't been here before, or they're not members here, or they might not even be Christians. And they either were invited, or they were curious, or something has happened, whether it was a friend who invited them or a neighbor. But just about every time we're here, there are people who are here who are not members of this church. And if you are one of our visitors or guests today, I want to welcome you. Say we're very glad you're here, but I also want to apologize because I'm going to be talking about you this morning. I'm going to be talking a little bit about how it is that we think about and respond to guests gathering here with our family and worshiping with us. Because one thing that is probably true for many of them, I won't say for everyone, because it's not true for everyone, but for many of them, and this is something that I think is important to have in our minds as we begin this discussion, for a lot of people, your first time going to a new church building where you don't know a lot of people, and you don't know how they do things, and you haven't been a part of the routine for years and years and years, you can go there, and it's probably more like that second feeling about the invitation. You maybe are a little bit dreading it. You might go out of obligation. You might go to be nice, and you might go to have, you know, good opportunity to meet people and to worship and all of that. But at the same time, there's always going to be some apprehension and maybe a little bit of fear or maybe a little bit of discomfort. You don't know what the people there dress like. And I'm telling you, you go from church to church, people dress differently, so it's hard to know what each church culture is going to be like. You might not know the songs. In Churches of Christ, we have a unique singing style that not a lot of churches do anymore. And so when that happens and you sing a cappella, people might be a little thrown off by that or uncomfortable with that. They feel, am I supposed to sing? I'm not going to go sit around a bunch of strangers and sing. That would be a lot of people's very worst nightmare in the world, to go sit around a bunch of strangers and sing. And so all of this is to say, a lot of times when people are coming here, it's awesome that they're here. That's like a wonderful thing for us as a family and as a church community to welcome people in, but also recognize that there might be a little nervousness on their part. There might be a little apprehension. There might, in some cases, be dread. And I think one of the things that we can do, and one of the things that we should make it our mission to do, is to help them feel as welcomed and as comfortable and as part of the family as possible when people come into our buildings and come into our assemblies. We had Thanksgiving not too long ago, and you know, I have been to several Thanksgiving meals in my life. I have been to the meals with my family where I know everybody and we have all the stories and like conversations easy when I go with my family because we know each other. Then you get married and you have Thanksgiving meals with your in-laws, which by the way are also good in my family. I like my in-laws. But there is a difference between being with the family that you were raised with and being with your in-laws or your spouse's family, and your spouse is going to feel the same way. There might be more of a disconnect or more of a hurdle to overcome when it comes to comfort. Some of you probably experience this more than other people, but that's something that I think a lot of people notice. I've also been to Thanksgiving meals with people I didn't know. There was one time that Lauren was going to talk with one of her friends, and so I showed up with her, and it was a Thanksgiving meal, and so they were in a room talking about some important things, and I was with a family that I didn't know them, and so it was kind of awkward. I was like, am I allowed to get food? Or I didn't know what to do, but there was a grandma there, so she fed me, and it was good. But that was a time where it was a Thanksgiving meal. I've done Thanksgiving meals before, but each one of those experiences is quite different, and some of them are more comfortable than other ones. I'm going to tell you about a meal I went to one time that was probably my least comfortable meal I've ever been to. Imagine going to someone's Thanksgiving meal, and it turns into a family fight that you have to kind of sit there and watch. That you're not really a part of, but you just sit there and watch it. So this was not a family Thanksgiving, or this was not a Thanksgiving meal. But I did, when I was, years ago, I was living in Durant, Oklahoma for a few short months before I went off to Bear Valley to preacher training school up there. And while I was living in Durant, Oklahoma, I had a friend there. And he was going to college, lived a couple hours away from home. But there was a chair back home that he wanted to go get. It was like a 3-hour drive. And he asked me, hey, you want to go on a long road trip and go get a chair with me? And I said, sure. And so we got in his car and we drove. And, you know, he was a friend and it was, you know, we had fun driving up there. And we got the chair and loaded up in his car. But along the way, as he was going back home, his family knew that he was going to be there. And they wanted to have dinner with him. And they, so they said, you know, come have dinner with us. And I said, sure, yeah, I can go do that. And so they went to a family dinner. It was at a restaurant, and they paid for my meal, so it was great. But something happened during that family dinner. I noticed something odd as soon as I got there. It was me and my friend and his parents and his sister. And his sister had recently graduated high school, and she was kind of sitting there very nervous with her head kind of down and her shoulders kind of slumped over, and the conversation started. The family was letting him know that the younger sister, the night before, had gotten engaged. And she got engaged to a guy who the rest of the family did not like. And they were not happy at all with this engagement. They were more than unhappy with this engagement. And my friend was furious when he found out that she was engaged to this guy. And her parents were very upset about it. And during this family dinner, with me sitting next to this family, that's when all of this kind of comes to the fore. So the rest of the family had known, and they'd been processing and arguing about this all day. Now they're letting their son know. And so when they let him know, the whole thing flares up again, and there's yelling, and there's crying, and the mom is crying, and the daughter's crying, and my friend is mad, and the dad is mad, and I'm sitting there like, you know? And so that was one dinner where I was there, but I didn't really feel like I was a part. There was one point, I didn't know what I was supposed to say. So it was like during this moment of silence, everyone had said their piece, and I just was like, congratulations. I don't think that went over well. But anyway, we then drove back home in silence for 3 hours, and that was a family dinner I went to. Here's why I bring that up. It's possible to be invited somewhere and to feel like you're not really wanted there. or to get there and feel like there are other matters that people are concerned about, or to get there and feel very uncomfortable because people don't seem to like each other very much there. When it comes to inviting people here to our church building, when it comes to inviting people to gather and to worship with us, I think it's very, very important that it feels more like a family Thanksgiving dinner than it feels like I'm a stranger who's surrounded by people who don't seem to like each other. Or I'm a stranger and it seems like everyone else has bigger things on their mind than me or anything else that I feel very out of place. We want people to not come here and to immediately feel very out of place. And so when we consider people who gather with us, I think it's important for us to perhaps not so much look at them as visitors, but try to change our mindset to see them more as guests. There's a difference between visitors and guests. I was a visitor at that family dinner. I guess I was kind of invited, but it was not for me at all. Like, I wasn't any part of the plans of that family dinner. I think I was a surprise when I was there. A guest, however, is not a surprise. Guests are invited intentionally. You can have a visitor at your house who just showed up, but a guest is someone who you took the thought and intention to invite. They are welcomed, and you're glad to see them, and they're greeted, and they're welcomed in politely and kindly, and they're prepared for. You knew that they were coming, and that's why you invited them. And so when they get there, there's a bed ready for the guest when they get to your house. There is meal plans in place for the guests when they arrive at your house. There's maybe even some activities that you know the guests will enjoy as they arrive at your house. There is thought and intentionality when it comes to guests. When we gather together, we ought not be surprised when guests show up. We should be ready and willing to accept. We should have them in mind as we gather together because there are going to be people here. It happens. It happens like every week. I get the visitors cards, the guest cards on my desk. And so this is something that happens. And so this is something that I think we can all stand to benefit from thinking about, from talking about, and maybe even taking some intentional effort on our part to make our guests feel welcomed. There aren't many places in the Bible that talk about how to handle it when you have visitors or guests walk into your assembly. But there are two passages that come to my mind pretty quickly when I think of what passages actually might address this topic. One of them is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 22 through 25, which says, "So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all. All the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, and they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, 'God is really among you.'" Okay, so here's the goal of this passage. For people to come in to recognize the need that they have for Jesus, the sin in their own life, and to recognize the reality of God's presence among these people. Like, Paul thinks that would be a great thing if it happened at your worship assemblies. But what could happen is people walk in there and they think you're all out of your mind. That's one option. And the topic that he's covering here specifically is he's talking about tongues. And, you know, people speaking in tongues. And if you don't have an interpreter, if we just, you know, all started speaking in tongues one day and we didn't have anyone interpret, we didn't have any explanation of what they meant, we didn't have any translator or anything like that, all it would look like is just madness and chaos. And he says people will look at you kind of funny if they just see madness and chaos and there's no actual learning that takes place. And so he wants the messages to be able to be learned. He wants them to be in a language that people understand and can grow from. And so if there is tongue speaking, make sure that there's an interpreter there so that people can understand it. Make sure that it's not everyone all at once, but, you know, two or at the most three, and let's organize this thing a little bit. That's what 1 Corinthians 14 is doing, is he's trying to structure the assembly in a way that's conducive to learning and honoring God and edifying the church and even, yes, for visitors. Notice he includes visitors in that. Unbelievers who might come in here or people who are visiting at some point and they see what's going on, you want them to be able to understand what's happening. So we are not a big tongue-speaking church. We don't dabble in that much. But here's what we do. We do talk. We do sometimes use very in-house language. What I mean by that is there's language I've grown up with because I grew up in the Church of Christ, that if someone grew up in another religious tradition, or if they grew up and they didn't go to church at all, they're not going to have a clue what a lot of those key words and phrases that I grew up with mean. And so one thing I think we can intentionally try to be careful about is using language that is conducive to everyone being able to understand, to try to make sure our words are something that visitors and unbelievers can understand and grow and learn from, as well as people who have been Christians for a very long time. And so in this passage right here, it's just a brief glimpse in a much larger topic, but Paul does address, make sure that your worship services are understandable to people who are not a part of your assembly. If you have visitors or unbelievers or inquirers, I like the idea of people who have questions and they're coming there to see, make sure that they're able to understand what's going on. That's an important part of this. The second passage that comes to mind is the one that was read a moment ago. It says, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, or a poor man in filthy clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but to the poor man you say, you stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? What he's saying is, and this is something that I think everyone has a tendency to do, we try not to, but people do it, is you see someone come in and you immediately place them in some pre-existing category in your mind of, all right, this is the type of person, they're going to be a great fit here. They know what's going on. They are going to be an asset to this church. They could probably even teach Bible classes and lead singing. Excellent. You know, like you look at someone and you see the potential there. And usually these are going to be people who maybe they have a nice family. Maybe they know exactly how to dress. Maybe they've been at church many, many, many times before. Maybe they're someone who somewhat well off. They're going to be a good contributor to things. Like they look like they have their lives in order. Then you see someone else comes in. And you see someone else walk in, and it looks like their life is in complete and utter disarray. They haven't been making good decisions. They haven't spent very much time in a church building at all. And you look at them, and you can tell immediately, this is going to be more problematic. This is going to be someone who, instead of contributing, maybe this isn't going to be the type of person who costs us funds. Maybe instead of the type of person who's going to be a great teacher, this is the type of person we're going to have to teach over and over and over and over again. Instead of someone who's going to be a great example to the church, this is going to be someone who maybe we don't want the kids learning from all that much. Like, and you can look at someone and you can immediately place them in these categories. And when you do that, it's very reasonable to see why someone might do that, right? I mean, that you understand that it's just on a practical level, some of those seem better than others. But from the Christian perspective and from the perspective of Jesus and the cross, Jesus was very clear that as the great physician, he didn't come to those who were already well. He came specifically for those who were in need of a doctor. The person who's already well is not going to the doctor. The person who is in desperate need is that one. And so Jesus was often condemned and ridiculed and critiqued because he spent his time with those people who others thought, like, they're going to make things worse and harder, and we're not going to have the clean, perfect church we want to have. You know, it's like Jesus went after those people and prioritized them and saw value in them. He saw that they were worthy of the cross that he bore. And I think that's a really important mindset for a church to adopt. Every single person who walks in here is a person worthy of your love and the love of God and the cross of Jesus Christ. Every person who comes in here is a person who their salvation matters. Their standing before God matters. Their welcome into our family and our community matters. And money shouldn't change that. And whether or not they have a good family life shouldn't change that. And whether or not they're good looking or young or whatever, none of that should change that. These are people that Jesus loved enough to die for. They're people we should love enough to welcome with love and open arms. And so one of these passages is about making sure they can understand what's going on. The other one is about not showing partiality when you see people walk into your buildings or into your assemblies. And so as we look at these things, I think there are some practical reminders, some challenges perhaps, that we can take seriously when it comes to guests in our building. Let's make sure, for one thing, they can understand what's done and what is being said. I know a lot of that responsibility is going to fall on me because I stand up here and talk more than anyone else. And that's something I try to be conscious of. I probably hit or miss sometimes. But if you're going to stand before the assembly, or if you're going to meet and talk to someone, you know, there in the pews after services are over, try to say things in the most understandable way possible. Try to recognize that not everyone knows the in-house language of the Maryville Church of Christ. And so use words and language that people could understand, even if they've never said it in here before, so that they could benefit from what's going on. And they could understand perhaps the reason behind why we do some of the things that we do. I think if 1 Corinthians is right, that's going to allow them to see the presence of God among us a whole lot more than walking in and seeing something that they feel absolutely no connection to whatsoever. The language, the clothes, everything is different than anything I've ever seen before. It's going to be hard for a person like that to experience the presence of God. And so making sure that we speak in ways that people can understand and be a part of what's happening. Let's make sure that our guests are greeted and experience a friendly atmosphere. Again, you don't want them sitting awkwardly at the dinner table while the family's shouting at each other. What you would like is for your guests to feel part of the family. And so going out of your way to welcome, to thank them for their presence here, to let them know how happy we are there, to let them know that, you know, if there's any questions they have, whether it's about how we do the Lord's Supper, where the Lord's Supper things are, or about Bible classes, or about the different age groups the children's church, like all these different things that we have, you know, you can let them know some of the things that are going on here so that they can be aware and they can participate and they can feel like we have prepared for their arrival so that when they arrive, it's not like we're caught off guard. We know they're coming. And so, especially, by the way, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to give this lesson right at the beginning of December, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be having more guests. That happens. That happens just about every time that Christmas season arises. People will often, whether it's visiting family or trying to make their mom happy or whatever, people will start going to church a little bit more often. And to start a new year, people will start going because people have made resolutions. And a lot of them will say, okay, I'm going to start getting my life right. I want to start going to church again. I want to start saying, or people who maybe haven't been here for a while because of COVID or concerns. At the start of the new year, they may be thinking, you know what, that'd be a good time to start making some changes and start seeing what I can do. And so anyway, be prepared for more people to be coming in here, people who either haven't been here in a long time or people who have never been in here. And let's be sure that they experience a family and a friendly atmosphere. Let's make sure that all guests are treated with respect and honor, regardless of what assumptions we have about their background or their lifestyle or their socioeconomic status or whatever it may be. If you're in our building, you are appreciated. You are welcomed. We're thankful that you're here. We want to get to know you more, and we want to get to build a relationship with you. We would love for you to be part of this family. And so if we cut off a percentage of the people who come in, that's immediately shooting ourselves in the foot. And so let's make sure that we welcome all guests with respect and honor. Finally, let's make sure guests feel at home when they're here. Be hospitable. Like this is your house and someone has walked into your house, you want them to feel at home. You want them to feel comfortable there. You want to be a good host and a good guest. Well, let's take that kind of ownership of our family here. Let's take that kind of ownership of our assembly here. You know what? It's hard to get people to want to obey the gospel and to change their life into the teachings of Jesus and to become a disciple of his. It's difficult for people to make those kinds of changes. To people who want to be part of a church family. A lot of people are kind of skeptical about the church in the world we live in. A lot of people don't immediately associate good, happy feelings with the church. When someone gets up early on a Sunday and they put their clothes on and they drive across town and they walk into this assembly, into an environment they're unfamiliar with, they've already taken a huge step toward us. The very, very least we could do is try to let them know how much we appreciate that and make a step back towards them. That's something that I think is a responsibility every one of us should take upon ourselves to try to do that. So as we bring our lesson to a close, here's the challenge. Make it a personal ministry You know, not everyone can be involved in every ministry, but here's something every person can have as a ministry for the church, something you take seriously, something that you do with diligence, is you look for guests, you greet them, you help them. You help them know what's going on. You help them know where things are. You invite them back. Nobody should feel ignored in our building. No one should ever come into this building and sit in a pew and look around and see other people talking and having a good time, and no one has talked to them, and they don't really know if this is a friendly church, not a friendly church, and then they get up and they leave and they think, well, that was an experience. Like, we want people when they come in here to know, hey, you're welcome to sit with us. Hey, you know, where are you from? How are you? What's your name? Like, make people feel welcome, like they have a community here that's already ready and waiting for them. And every single one of us could take that as a ministry for ourselves. And so if we can challenge you to do that, I do challenge you to do that. And if there's anyone here this morning who would like to become a Christian this morning, would like to have your sins washed away in baptism by the blood of Jesus, or you can name him as, or while naming him as Lord of your life, we pray that you would let that be known. Come sit on the front row while we stand. And